Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Psalm chapter 8, verse 9. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Friends, let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. If you're able, I invite you to stand for today's call to worship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God the Father,
and the communion of the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Remind us of who we are and how we were made.
So that we may live with gratitude for all we have done.
Amen. Let's remain standing for today's opening hymn, number 380, God, whose almighty word. Amen. You may be seated. Well, friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church, and today we celebrate Trinity Sunday together. There are so many things about God that are mysterious and that may be difficult for us to understand, one of which being how we name God, how we think of God. But one of the best ways that we have, based on scripture, based on church tradition, is the Trinity. Creator God, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Now, that doesn't entirely clear things up right away. There are still many questions we could ask concerning the Trinity, but it does help somewhat. So today we offer our thanks and praise for God being revealed to us in this way. We accept that there are still many things about God that will remain mysterious to us. But through it all, we continue to dedicate ourselves to God in love and service. And before we continue with this service today, I have some announcements to share with you. Friends, if you have any chicken pie orders to pick up, you may do so after worship today in the fellowship building. Thank you to everyone who helped out with the hot dog lunch event yesterday. Every single bagged hot dog lunch was given out to folks who came by the fellowship building. So thank you to all who participated in that event. Today after worship, there will be a youth lunch in the fellowship building. The menu will be a baked potato and salad bar. There's no cost for the meal, but a love offering will be collected to benefit the ministries of Michael and Cece Tesh. Friends, the 2026 Southern Province Synod will begin this coming Wednesday, June 3rd, lasting through Saturday, June 6th. I will be out of the office those days and also the prior day, Tuesday, June the 2nd. Now, friends, next Sunday, June 7th, I'm delighted to welcome Reverend Dr. Cindy Campbell into the pulpit here at Christ Moravian. Reverend Campbell's retired from parish ministry, but is still very active in Moravian mission work, including working both with the Board of World Mission and the Mission Society. She also travels overseas to help with various Moravian mission initiatives and areas, including often going to Kenya to aid Michael and Cece Tesh. So we look forward to the word that Reverend Cindy Campbell will bring to us next Sunday. And friends, just an announcement about our church grounds. The Moramus Choir will be using our sanctuary to practice every Sunday in June, beginning next Sunday from 3:30 to 5 p.m. So if you see a group of folks parked at the church at that time, walking in and out, it's going to be the Moramus Choir practicing for some of their performances this year. I invite you to refer to the insert in your bulletin for information about the upcoming Mission Awareness Dinner, sponsored by the Mission Society. On June the 9th, Tuesday, the Marvelous Moravians will be headed to Shiloh General Store in Hamptonville. All are welcome to join if you're able. You can meet us there, or if you'd like to carpool, please meet in the Fellowship Building parking lot by 10:30 a.m. That's a week from Tuesday, June the 9th. And friends, in a couple of weeks, I'll be headed to Lower Ridge to counsel for my week at Middle High Camp this year. Brother Matt Pace will preach and lead worship on Sunday, June 14th, and I'll be back the following Sunday, June 21st. And friends, I do have a prayer request to share with you this morning from my own family. Soon, my mom will need another fusion surgery on her neck to help relieve some pain and some loss of motor function she's been experiencing. That'll take place Tuesday, June the 9th. I'll have to be with her while the anesthesia wears off and she recovers, so I'll be out of the office and with her from June 9th through the rest of that week.
So please be in prayer for Mom and for her care team in the coming weeks. Be in prayer for all those who will be at Synod next week. Be in prayer for the Laurel Ridge camp season as it has kicked off and will continue to go on through the end of the summer. Friends, let us go to God in prayer together. Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, we give you thanks for the sustenance that you provide to us, whether that be through the hard work and volunteer hours of all those who prepare the chicken pies that are now ready to be picked up, or whether that's through all of those who put together the hot dog lunches that ensured that hungry people were fed on these grounds yesterday. We give you thanks for providing these things, and we give you thanks for guiding us into that work. But gracious God, the work continues as we continue on getting closer to the season of summer. We lift up all those who will participate in Synod. We lift up those who will care for my mom and for her surgery in the coming weeks. And we ask for safe travels and a safe and spirit-filled time at camp for all those who will be attending and volunteering at Laurel Ridge this year. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, our responsive reading today will continue to help us celebrate Trinity Sunday. It begins on page 100 of your Moravian hymnal. If you're able, I invite you to stand and let's pray this liturgy to the Lord together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
The whole earth is full of your glory.
You are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will you brought them forth. Triune God, we acknowledge the profound mystery of your being beyond our comprehension. Three in one, one in three.
Yet what we can never know by ourselves, you have revealed to us through your word and your mighty works, through Jesus Christ and the presence of your Spirit, you have made yourself known.
You offer the gracious gift of eternal life. As we bow before you, holy God, we confess our unholiness and receive your word of forgiveness. Gracious God, we confess our sin, which separates us from you. We know how people who belong to you should live, but we fail to live that way. We have done evil and have failed to do good. We have lived for self rather than for you or our neighbor. Thus our lives are diminished, our witness is stifled, and your image in us is tarnished. Give us, good Lord, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, guide us to live as people who know and love you. Amen. The Lord who saves you says, I am the God who forgives your sins. I do this because of who I am. I will not hold your sins against you. Please stand. Be seated. The Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Let us love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength.
We know God as Father, who seeks loving relationships with all whom He has created. Praise the Lord. Do not forget how kind God is.
Who forgives our sins and redeems us from the grave.
Who blesses us with steadfast love and tender mercy.
Who fills our lives with new things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles.
We know God as Jesus Christ, the Word who became a human being and lived among us, full of grace and truth. God created the whole universe through him and for him. Christ existed before all things. And in union with him, all things have their proper place.
Jesus was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, even death on the cross.
For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. We know God as the Holy Spirit, who reveals the truth about God.
The world cannot receive the Spirit because it cannot see or know him, but we know him because he lives with us and is in us.
God's Spirit joins with our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Because we are God's children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Father, my Father.
My God.
May you have power to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and so be filled with all the fullness of God.
It is through Christ that all of us are able to come in one Spirit, in the presence of the Father.
Please stand. Now to God, who by God's power within us is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or imagine, to God be glory in the church through Jesus Christ forever and ever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, our first scripture lesson for today will come from Psalm Chapter 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, will you join me again in prayer? Gracious God, we give you thanks for revealing yourself to us in the way that you have. Gracious God, we may always have many questions, and we know that those questions may never be fully answered. Gracious God, try and help us to accept you for who you are, for what you have revealed to us, and for what you continue to guide us into. Gracious God, we eagerly await the responsibilities that you are laying on us, and we ask for patience and grace as we try our best to meet those moments. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The ushers may come forward. Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. Friends, our second scripture reading today will come from the book of Revelation. We'll begin with a section from chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, then we'll skip down to chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing, they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. And friends, for our next hymn, we will carry on the refrain that was just begun by our handbell choir. We will be singing all four verses of number 381, "Holy, Holy, Holy." You may remain seated.
Thank you. Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of John, the 15th chapter, verses 26 and 27, and from the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You are also to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God.
Well, friends, there's a phrase that's popped up in sports mostly in recent years, particularly in basketball, that's become popular and widespread. If you've watched a basketball game or you've turned on ESPN or listened to the radio, you might have heard mention of the Big Three. It refers to a sports team having three star players at the same time. Now, it used to be teams could count on getting one star, maybe two, and then building around them with role players to try to make the playoffs, try to win a championship. But now, though, in recent history, there are so many talented players playing on a professional sports team at any given time that the thought is, in order to contend, you have to have a big three to build around. And so that phrase started about a team about 20 years or so, an iteration of the Boston Celtics. They traded for a star player named Kevin Garnett. They traded for another star player named Ray Allen. And then they joined Paul Pierce, who was already there in Boston, to make arguably the first big three. Well, almost right away, the Celtics won the whole thing. They won a championship with this trio, and they came close over the years to winning many more. And because there was so much press around the Celtics joining those three together, they were coined the Big Three, and then they won the title right away. That phrase, the Big Three, stuck around for a while, and it still is sticking around to a certain degree. Over the years leading up to now, many other teams and many sports have adopted a Big Three model as a result. And so as Christians, we have our own Big Three, so to speak, a trio that we especially recognize today on Trinity Sunday: the Father or Creator, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the three persons of God. Now, if we stopped right there, that would kind of make sense, I think. We, you know, as Christians who have been to church for some time or have gone to Sunday school or have heard lessons or read scripture, various other things encountering worship and study, that we've heard of the Trinity before. We've heard the one in three and three in one, God in three persons. But as it turns out, the Trinity is one of the most mysterious and sometimes confusing concepts that we have in our faith. The more we think about the Trinity, the more questions that we might have. How can you have one God, but then three persons? Why do they sometimes have different names? Why did God choose to do it this way? Why couldn't it just be simple and God is God and that's it? Why is one of the most foundational parts of our faith so complicated? If you have questions about the Trinity, don't worry. The church has had questions for its entire existence, even the early church, starting thousands and thousands of years ago. They spent a lot of time and energy trying to figure it out. They made declarations, they called councils together, they had arguments. The word heretic was even thrown around a time or two. It was an intense debate and discussion as people tried to figure out shortly after Jesus was on earth, just what in the world does it mean? What does it mean that God sent Jesus? What does it mean that Jesus said all these things about the Spirit and the Advocate? And what does it mean for us now as a new church? And so even when a consensus or an agreement began to form, the details continued to be debated and reaffirmed over the course of many years. And there's still a lot of study being done today as to just what the Trinity means. Now, as Moravians, the Trinity is a very important part of what we believe, right? If we just take this worship service, for instance, I know this is Trinity Sunday, but the Trinity was everywhere. It was in the chorales, it was in the call to worship, it was in our hymns, it was in our liturgy, it was in scripture, it was in prayer. It's here in this message. The Trinity is everywhere in our worship. It's even in our doxology that we sing every Sunday. And this has been true for Moravians from the beginning as well. Since the church was formed back in the 15th century, we've confessed Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Since then, we've believed in one baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And some of our church ancestors thought very deeply about the Trinity. For example, Count Zinzendorf, he had some very interesting ideas about the Trinity and what it says about God. But others held that the Trinity is just one of the great mysteries of our faith. We shouldn't try to explain or understand something so mysterious. So at the end of the day, friends, as Moravians and as Christians overall, the Trinity is something very important, but also something very, very challenging. Well, maybe today's scripture can help us. In John chapter 15 and 16, we get the Trinity, Father, Jesus, and the Advocate, or the Holy Spirit. In today's scripture, Jesus has many words to say about the Father, about himself, and about the Advocate. Now, does it come much closer to helping the Trinity make sense? For me, no. No, it does not. But while we might not walk away from today's scripture as experts on the Trinity, I think we can come to some sort of understanding, and I think we can even shift our focus. Instead of spending so much time thinking about who God is, I think we can start thinking more about what God does. Because indeed, today's verses are full of verbs and action items about what God does in the three persons of the Trinity. In the passage in John today, we read the Father sins. The Father has, the Father takes, the Father declares. We read Jesus sins, says, tells, goes. We read the advocate comes, testifies, proves, guides, glorifies. Now there's much we probably can't say about God, but we can say God is a being of action. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they always have been and always are working for the benefit of all creation. And friends, the actions of God can let us know many things, but I think importantly, the actions of God let us know that the world is not a lost cause. Even though the world did not recognize Jesus, even though it killed Jesus, and even though to this day it often doesn't recognize Jesus' followers and has often hurt or killed them too, the world is still so loved that God sent Jesus, who in turn sent the Holy Spirit. And so friends, as Christians, we're called by this God of action into the difficult task of working with God to love a flawed and sinful world. See, after all those verbs and action words I talked about earlier from God, God is not the only one with an action in today's scripture. In John 15:27, Jesus proclaims that the disciples are to testify along with the advocate, along with the Holy Spirit. So human beings get an action to testify. The gospel couldn't happen without God, but God also calls us to take part in the work. This is a part of the relationship that God wants to have with us. And in the Moravian Church, that relationship with God is expressed beautifully in what we call the essentials of our faith. God creates, God redeems, God sanctifies. And we respond with faith, love, and hope. So God creates us exactly as we are. We're beloved children of God. God loves us so much that God wants to be in a relationship with us. God loves us so much that God sent Jesus to us on earth. Jesus came to show us how to live and to reconcile us to God. Jesus was killed, but God loves him and us so much that God made something beautiful out of it, bringing him back to life. Jesus had to go back and be with God, but God loves us so much that the Holy Spirit was sent to help us build communities of faith, share the good news about God with word and action, that testify that Jesus mentions in today's scripture. God creates, redeems, sanctifies, loves, sends, makes beautiful, helps, resurrects. The Trinity, for me at least, is less about who God is and more about what God does. Friends, we have Synod coming up later this week. And one of the reasons that I like Synod so much is that Synod is a place of action. Synod is a place for us as Moravians to live out our God-given calling to act and work for the good of the gospel. Synod is where we as Moravians can practice what we preach. And in Synod, God is present with us throughout. We use the gifts the Father creates in us. We follow the teachings and examples of Jesus Christ, our chief elder, and we're guided by the Holy Spirit, all so we can work toward the fulfillment of the kingdom of God and so all people can experience the abundant life God has to offer. So at Synod this coming week, many people will gather together to follow this calling to serve and obey God. But even if you're not at Synod next week, you can still be dedicated to serving and obeying God as well, right where you are. And so friends, even though there's still much that's a mystery about the Trinity, we know there's one God, we know there's three persons, we know that God is a being of love who acts on our behalf and for our betterment. And so friends, as a community of faith, today and onward, let us go to love
and serve the Lord. Amen. So friends, to close our service today, we're going to do something a little differently. Normally we sing a third hymn to close us out, leading us to the benediction. But as I mentioned earlier, Synod for the Southern Province of the Moravian Church begins this Wednesday and concludes on Saturday. It runs for 3 days straight. It takes a lot of time and energy from those participating. There will be many delegates present from various congregations, various groups, other parts of the province, all of whom will be helping shape the future of the church for the next few years. So for Christ Moravian, the delegates will be myself, and as elected by you all at Church Council, Matt Pace, along with Sabrina Maxey and Carol Johnson as our alternates. So the following liturgy will help us commission and pray for our delegates and is included as an insert in your bulletin. I'm grateful today for Sister Elizabeth Petticord, who's currently the central trustee on our leadership board, for being willing to lead this liturgy. So just one quick note about the hymn verses in the liturgy. They come from hymn 674 in the Moravian hymnal, beginning with verse 1, and the last one at the end is verse 5. So if you see those verses in your liturgy and you're not familiar with the tune, you can turn to hymn 674 in the Blue Moravian Hymnal, and it's verse 1 and then verse 5 if you'd like to sing along. Now I'll ask the delegates and alternate delegates to step forward to the front of the church while everyone else remains seated.
We commission our delegates for the 2026 Synod of the Southern Province. They have been called and elected to serve the church in discerning God's will for our province. The theme for the 2026 Provincial Synod is ever transforming, ever renewing. Jesus is continually calling us to be transformed by the Spirit of God so that our lives might be a witness to the way of Christ and the kingdom of God. We journey as individuals, as congregations, and as the whole province. It is Christ, our chief elder, who leads us towards renewal, inviting each of us to reflection on the ways of life that bring us closer in our walk with Jesus, and how we can encourage others to join Jesus as disciples on this path. The way of Jesus changes us. It continues to transform the world through the love of God, shared in communities and relationships that are nurtured through faithful discipleship and proclamation of the good news. From June 3rd through the 6th, our congregation's delegates will join the delegates from all over the Southern Province to collectively listen to the Holy Spirit and discern God's vision for us over the next 4 years. The experience of Synod will be a journey for each of them as individuals and as a group. So, Reed Lawson, Matt Pace, Sabrina Maxey, and Carol Johnson, delegates, do you covet with Christ and your church family to prepare yourself for Synod and faithfully fulfill your responsibilities as a delegate? Congregation, do you promise to love and support these brothers and sisters As they participate in the 2026 Provincial Synod, will you covenant to pray for them and the whole Southern Province now and during Synod? Let us pray. Dear God, we lift up our congregation's delegates along with all other delegates to Synod. May they be led by the Holy Spirit in all decisions made and work together in unity. Be with our province as we covenant together in carrying out your vision for us. Bless, strengthen, and empower us as we continue on our faith journey together. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So friends, as we are about to go and enjoy a meal together in the fellowship building, today's benediction will serve as our blessing for that meal. So if you're able, I invite you to stand. Let's join together in praying the Moravian blessing. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be, and bless these gifts bestowed by thee. Bless our dear ones everywhere, and keep them in thy loving care. Amen. If you're able to join us, please come eat. If not, then go in peace.